Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Good News, the Holy Gospel, according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But what if salt goes flat? How can you restore its flavor? Then it is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. People do not light a lamp and then hide it under a bushel basket. They set it on a stand where it gives light, and gives light to all in the house. In the same way, your light must shine before God's people so that they may see goodness in your deeds and give praise to your heavenly Father." This is the gospel of the Lord. When Clara Long died this week, at the age of 90, it was once again my painful privilege to share with the family their grief and to call them, with the whole church, to a renewed faith and confidence in the promise of resurrection. And as always, for me, celebrating the rituals of a woman of so many years, as her family and I gathered and heard their family stories retold, I inevitably remembered my mother, who died at 84, and remembered our family stories. Clara's family has a great one. One of the common denominators between their mother and mine, I'm, as many of you know, the 12th of 13 children. She had 15. And it happened that when she was having her 12, she was put in the same room with a frightened young mother who was having her first and having a time of it. And she was stunned when Clara was whisked out of the room almost immediately and soon came back with the baby in her arm. And the young mother said, "Is that your first?" She said, "My first dozen." Their family stories commingled with ours, which is to say, of the whole family, the scripture readings at that Mass. And as I say, it always brings me back to memories of my mother. And when I think of women like Clara and my mother Elizabeth and what they did under the circumstances in which they lived, the, in truth, all but incredible achievements of these women, I'm always compelled to wonder, what would they have done if they were the young, vibrant women of today, with all those extraordinary gifts, but a new world in which everyone is now confronted with the truth that women are fully equal and that their gifts must be treasured. I speculated to members of the family the other night that their mother or mine might have been the CEO of some big corporation, or an outstanding politician, women of public importance and consequence. And it was interesting, if I may say so, that the oldest brother immediately expressed some concern, but how would the family have fared if she had been challenged with such tasks? He obviously expressed some reservations about the busyness of women today. I suggest that in today's liturgy, and obviously most particularly, in the words of this day's gospel, just now proclaimed anew, that Jesus is challenging each and every one of us to wonder anew what our gifts, what our talents are, and to ask, indeed, to demand of ourselves an internal accounting of how well, how fully, or how foolishly and frightened we use those gifts. It is a sacred moment to wonder together, what is that special salt that God has put in you to flavor the community? In what way is the light of Christ inflamed in your heart, a way unique, truly different from that same light as it burns in the heart and the personality, in the very person of each and every Christian? Indeed, in each and every child of God on this earth. It's a time to wonder, a time perhaps to repent for salt that has lost its flavor, a time to repent that with the light of Christ within you or me, there is still, even in our immediate environs, so much darkness and so many shadows. And I found it very striking and realized that perhaps some of you might challenge my perception of the context in which this call is placed today. I concluded that this call of Jesus to consider the salt, the flavor within us, the unique light that each of us carries in a communal, even in a universal context. Oh, there's no question about it. Some of us have gifts and talents that by their very nature are for our own comfort and consolation. Some of us, in the exercise of our unique characteristics, may not all that much have an impact on society. But I believe Jesus is speaking today of the salt and the light that is given to us in, essentially, in the context of our relationships with the world. And I say so, for today, Isaiah puts it so well, when the prophet says, in effect, your salt will not give that special savor or flavor to the human experience, and your light will not shine in its fullness unless you share your bread and shelter the oppressed and the homeless. It's not always welcome news to all of us, but we are forever being challenged to bring our uniqueness, and yes, even the deepest, most private, sacred dimensions of our self, to bear on the affairs of all God's people. We are not only social by our nature, but we are sacredly social by God's design. And so today we reflect not so much on our private, unnoticed gifts, but on the giftedness in each of us to have an impact on the rest of us. And when I say us, I mean us and us on and on to the ends of the earth. If I hear Jesus rightly, if I read the word correctly today, then I ask you to wonder with me. What does it mean in our society today and in our personal and collective lives? What does the word of Jesus mean? What is the intent of challenging us to wonder how our salt has lost its flavor? To wonder how, perhaps until now, our light is still secure and safe, but hidden under some bushel basket. What does the gospel today and the renewed call of the prophet say, for example, to gifted women who have, for practical and pragmatic reasons, adjusted to being quiet and allowed themselves to be put in a secondary, subservient role in society? What is Jesus saying to you if you are a woman who has done thus? What is Jesus? What is the gospel? What is the Holy Spirit saying today to citizens who understand and, with a little more courage, could well articulate and publicly point out the essential unfairness in established arrangements? What is it saying to people who, with some courage and effort, could cast the harsh light of God's truth into those dark corners of privilege at the expense of the powerless and the poor? And on this first Sunday, in which, as a country, we, I'd like to believe all of us willingly, but surely some of our neighbors not so willingly, but on this Sunday when we begin again to reflect in this Black History Month on the priceless treasure of our African American sisters and brothers and their unique contributions to our communal life, what is the gospel and the challenge of Jesus saying to those African Americans who, relatively speaking, have achieved some peace and comfort and are loath to speak out lest they make waves, even though they know well that so many of their sisters and brothers are still under the boot of oppression, still virtually helpless victims of racism and privilege of the few in our society? And what is the gospel, the call to taste your own salt and see if the flavor is gone, the call to peek again under that bushel basket and see if your light's gone out, smothered by your protective, self-protective efforts? What is this gospel saying to gays and lesbians who continue to enjoy the quiet comfort of their individual closets and remain silent while colleagues and peers still heap invective and condemnation and ridicule on their sisters and brothers whose plight they, most of all, should understand? What does it say, this gospel of this day, to those of us who leave unchallenged those soldiers and politicians who these days speak in such loud voices and with such self-righteous gestures? To exclude people based on their sexual orientation from an institution that has, in such large measure, a shameful record of sexual harassment and molestation of women that was allowed to go in so great a degree unquestioned or unchallenged? What does it say, this gospel of this day, to those church leaders, priests, and bishops who played the old boys' game and were more concerned about protecting those in the club than they were about speaking out in the face of the outrageous and all but unspeakable scandal of priests abusing and violating the sacred trust of children who are under their care? Jesus is calling us, each of us, to let our unique light shine. Jesus is calling us with tremendous urgency to bring the salt of our personal perceptions, our sensitivities, and our freedom, even in fear, to speak out in the face of injustice. He is calling us to give new flavor to what is at risk of being a sad and sorry stew of human conflict, animosities, hostilities, and divisions. Jesus is challenging us to kick over that bushel basket that keeps our light dim but safe. Jesus calls us to stand up, to give light and life anew to the community of God's children, who are sisters and brothers all to all of us. Be not deceived. The same Jesus in this gospel says, if you will let your salt flavor the human experience, and if you'll let your light shine clearly and brightly in the human community, then people, because of you, will give praise to our Heavenly Father. But be not deceived. The same Jesus, by his experience and his deeds, has already taught us. Those who love the darkness, those whose security depends on staying in the shadows, might find it necessary to confront us, to cast our flavorful salt out to be trampled, to extinguish our light lest their dark deeds be exposed. It may cost us everything, even life itself, to be salt and light to such a dark and troubled world. But be consoled, for the prophet assures us in this same liturgy, in the reading which we have just now again heard proclaimed, a promise that we would foolishly expect to see fulfilled here on earth, but in faith can believe will be at last fulfilled in the mystery of God's providence. Isaiah said it then, the church says it now, this community hears it anew, this promise of God to us all. If you remove from your midst oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech, if you bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then light shall rise for you in the darkness, and the gloom shall become for you like the noonday sun.